Checky check check 1 2 checky. Check 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 mic check. Does it look good? Looks good to me. Just keep rolling. Screw it. We don't need to start over. Everybody loves to hear the mic check at the beginning of the podcast. That's their favorite part. Well, that and me screaming bad language. Actually, I have notes for this episode, so the first thing I'm going to do is start talking about things that aren't actually in the notes, because God forbid ever fucking follow a plan around here. You can scream, shout with all your might. You can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, and motherfucking moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. You can shove your opinion up your ass. That way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And don't forget, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. As I have been right for so fucking long. You know, I talk about how I've done 10 years of podcasting. Let me just point out that stating the obvious existed long before the podcast version. The podcast you're listening to right now, the cruise missile of my intellect. That homes in on and destroys motherfucking cities all around the world. And if there are survivors, well, then I just scream bad words at them and call them names and go, "Who will build the roads?" and make fun of them, and then we mow them down with a 50 caliber machine gun. The first post, the first written post of stating the obvious, if I remember correctly, and I looked at this about 7 minutes ago, and since my brain is like a sieve, then who knows what the fuck happened to the information in my brain. If I remember correctly from 7 minutes ago when I researched this, the first post on stating the obvious happened in October of 1999. So we could party like it's 1999. That's how long I've been doing this. Greetings, I am the Great One himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. Since 1999, pissing people off, expressing opinions that nobody wants to hear, and just generally not giving a fuck about your feelings. You can find us on the interwebs, cynlibsoc.com, and of course on the Twitterverse, cynlibsoc. I am the Great One himself still. Mention that again. I hear my phone ringing. It's in the other room. Who cares? If it's important, they'll leave a message. In the control room, right over there, on the other side of the glass, seen but not heard, seen by me anyway, not seen by you, is the lovely and adorable Randy. You can send us email, God, dog spelled backwards, God, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com. All right, what else do we need to do on this show? Oh, yes, thank you. The theme song, I haven't mentioned this lately, the theme song for Stating the Obvious podcast is You Know I'm Right by David Gilmour. It's off his 1984 album, About Face. And today is the 29th of July, 2015. Okay, let me ignore my notes. Let's go over here and do this stuff. It has nothing to do with my notes. Let's start with this. I'm going to post a link to this article. This is over at Wired. And I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long and detailed, which is good. But basically, it's about people hacking the computers on automobiles so as to take control of the automobile. Now, we won't mention anybody who's predicted this long ago and pointed out that computers in automobiles are a bad thing. Computers in automobiles are going to lead to not only automobiles being hacked by bad people and by the government, but I repeat myself, and there's that one guy who was going to do something. He was a computer guy, and then he died in a mysterious auto accident, which some people believe the government did because they hacked his automotive computer and caused him to crash. I haven't done extensive research. May or may not be true. But the point is, this type of thing, as automobiles, in this article, they make the comment that automobile manufacturers are trying to turn automobiles into smartphones, essentially. I think that's a good way of putting it. I remember back in the day, if you buy old automobiles, there's none of this computer shit. Everything is mechanical. With the new automobiles, with everything being driven by the computer, once somebody hacks that computer, they can control the automobile, they can take control of the automobile, they can fuck the automobile up. And of course, those of you out there who are statist and think that there would be no roads if there are no government, you of course don't believe any of this stuff, which is why you should go read this. And the scary thing is, the hacks I had heard of before involved installing hacking software into the computer of the automobile by putting a CD into the CD player, and that would introduce the virus and stuff like that. These guys are remotely hacking automobiles over the internet. I mean, they're not anywhere near the car, and they're hacking into it and taking control of it. Controlling the brakes, the acceleration, the steering, all sorts of the windshield wipers, the radio, all sorts of other stuff. Automobiles used to represent freedom. Automobiles used to be a method of escape. You know, they were an element of your freedom, of who you were. You could get in your automobile and you could drive away, you could go where you wanted, you could travel any place. It was like this little mobile castle that was self-sufficient. I mean, as long as you put fuel and oil into it, and as long as you maintained it and all this other stuff. And you could maintain it yourself because it was a mechanical device. So the automobile represented, and it was, freedom. I've talked about this before. This is why statists, especially left-wing statists, are so obsessed with public transportation, getting people away from the automobile. When you look at socialist communist countries, the Soviet Union, for example, where all of the transportation is mass transit and very few people had automobiles, this made it possible for the government to easily control and monitor the movement of the population. Right, if you were in the Soviet Union, you wanted to go from one place to another, you had to either walk or you had to take public transportation. And public transportation, of course, presents choke points, bottlenecks, where you can have government officials checking everybody's papers. Here in the United States, the prevalence of automobiles prevents that sort of thing from happening. It's hard to create a government choke point where you can check everybody's papers and ask them why they're traveling and all this other stuff if everybody has access to automobiles and if there's lots of roads. Roads! I know, roads. As the automobile becomes computerized, there are a multitude of consequences to this. Here's what those consequences are. First consequence is that your automobile can be hacked by malicious hackers and thus endanger you, anybody around you, anybody in the car, pedestrians, other drivers, so forth and so on. The automobile can be hacked by the government. Now, we've already seen where the government has placed tracking devices on people's cars. And last I heard, one of the courts said that putting a tracking device on somebody's automobile without their permission, I could be wrong about this because my memory could be screwed up, but I seem to remember the court said that that was a violation of their, what is it, Fifth Amendment rights. So, you know, the authorities, whoever it was, didn't have a warrant to put the tracking device on the car, and the court said that's a no-no. I could be wrong, this could be overturned, whatever. But the point is, it does happen. Well, when you have computerized automobiles, I mean, the automobile has this computer in it that stores all of this data and that can send all of this data. You don't even need to put a tracking device on the car anymore. The car itself is a tracking device. And at what point will the automobile not just store information, because the computers store information about how fast the automobile is traveling and all this other stuff, right? If you have a wreck, they can retrieve that information to see how fast you were driving when the wreck occurred, all this other sort of stuff. So we know that automobiles are storing data. At what point will they begin transmitting this data? And of course, they will transmit it to the manufacturer so the manufacturer can improve their product. And of course, your information will be completely private and anonymous and all this other nonsense, which we know isn't true. At some point, that information will be provided to the government along with your phone calls, along with your emails. With the computerization of the automobile, and this may already be happening, I don't know, I know that there are automobiles that can have GPS systems where the car can know where it's at, where like rental car companies can know where their automobiles are. I mean, at what point does the automobile start monitoring your GPS data, transmitting your GPS data, and the government intercepts this? At what point do automobiles monitor your GPS location, monitor your speed, and knowing what the speed limit of the area you're driving is? Whenever you drive too much over the speed limit, at what point do they automatically send that information to the local police force, and then the police force just sends you a ticket? Now you may say, that'll never happen. We already have cameras. I mean, there's a fucking camera on the stoplight. You drive through it, the camera takes your picture, they mail you a ticket. I mean, why are you so stupid that you think this would be a stretch? That your automobile computer can monitor your speed, monitor your location, know the speed limit of the area you're in, and then transmit that information to the police department. Why is that so incredibly fucking far-fetched? Oh, that's right, because you're a dumb fucking statist. At some point, the police will have kill switches that they can use to deactivate automobiles. I've talked about this in the past. I've predicted this is going to happen. And it will be sold as a way of preventing high-speed chases so as to protect the children, because we know that everything is about the children. We always have to save the children. And you'll be driving down the street, and the police will be able to drive up in an automobile that has software that's not affected, and they'll push a button, and every car in a whatever half-mile radius, the engine will stop, and it will glide to a stop, and the brakes will come on automatically, and the steering wheel will keep it going in a straight direction. And everybody will be perfectly okay with this. Then you throw on top of this the fact that when you have an automobile, you have to have a license for it. You've got to find a place to put it. You know, it's a large object that you can't really hide anymore. Well, you couldn't really hide one in the first place. I don't know where that comment came from. But the automobile, it's a large object. It's not just a way of storing data on you and transmitting that data, but it's this method that people who want to find you can find you, track you, trace you through your automobile. It has, in a sense, in my mind, become the antithesis of freedom. The automobile has become a ball and chain. That's one of the reasons why I don't own an automobile. Of course, the authorities can put a GPS tracker on my bicycle or on my shoe or whatever. But the automobile, that's what it is. It has become a burden. It's become a ball and chain to an extent. I mean, it still allows people to get around, but the question is, how much longer is it going to escape? And then, of course, we have the self-driving cars that are coming. Which may actually make things better. Because with the self-driving car, if and when they work, and I suspect they'll actually work pretty well, a lot of the traffic problems will be eliminated, because most traffic problems are caused by idiots. People rubbernecking, people getting the left-hand lane and driving really fucking slow. All of these things are human stupidity. Remember, these are the same people who vote. This is why democracy doesn't work. And traffic laws, rules, the rules by which, like driving down the interstate, the rules by which that works aren't that complicated. A computer can easily navigate driving an automobile down the interstate far better than a fucking human can, which we could tell because when humans are on the interstates, we have motherfucking interstates turned into parking lots. And the self-driving automobile isn't going to transmit any more or less information to the government, the authorities, the corporations than automobiles do now today. So I don't think it's going to be any more of a privacy invasion. And it may actually work better for reducing traffic delays. Who knows? Anyhow, I'm going to link to the article. Go read it. Like I said, it's long, but it's terrifying. And I know a lot of you out there think I'm a conspiracy theorist and I'm just making this up and it's impossible to hack an automobile and you can just go fuck yourselves because you're an idiot. Speaking of idiots, let's talk about the $15 minimum wage. Put a link to this post also. Where is this from? This is over on the Libertarian Republic. Employees of a nonprofit in Seattle, Washington have been loving their new increased minimum wage until it meant they were making too much money to qualify for subsidized housing. Now they're asking for work fewer hours for more money so they can keep their free housing. Oh yes, subsidized housing. Nora Gibb is the executive director of Full Life Care, a nonprofit that serves elderly people in housing and nursing facilities and is also on the board of the Seattle Housing Authority. She recently had five employees who earned $13 an hour. They have a typo here on their site. Guys, there's a typo on your website. Who earned $13 an hour request to reduce their work hours in order to remain eligible for housing subsidies. Quote, this has nothing to do with people's willingness to work or how hard people work. It has to do with being caught in a very complex situation where they have to balance everything they can pull together a stable, successful life, unquote, Gibson said. No, this is about people wanting to be parasites. You wanted more money. Okay, you got more money. Now you're going to need to fucking pay your rent. Gibson said she supports a minimum wage increase, but is not surprised when employees ask for fewer hours. Quote, the jump from subsidized housing to market rate in Seattle is huge, unquote. Oh, wah, 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 wah. Seattle Housing Authority told KROQ7, quote, it's important that the continuum of affordable housing opportunities in our city and region allows for progression as people's income increases. That needs to be addressed across the housing market so that people don't feel they're in jeopardy of stable housing as soon as they're able to earn enough money to pay more of their housing cost, unquote. Yes, we wouldn't want people who are making more money to have to pay more money for their housing. We need them to keep getting those fucking subsidies. I need to keep subsidizing their motherfucking housing costs. Why? Because I'm a motherfucking heterosexual white man who works for a living, and God forbid my tax money not provide housing subsidies for these goddamn worthless motherfuckers. Justine Deckard is a full-time student with a three-year-old son and a part-time job. She says she doesn't want to work full-time because if she makes too much money, it cuts into her subsidies for rent and child care. Quote, a one-bedroom can cost upward of $1,200, and so imagine paying that and paying child care, which can be $900-something dollars, unquote, Decker said. Notice there's no mention of the husband or father. So again, it's a single mother, fucking working a part-time job, probably going to college for some fucking worthless degree, and she wants subsidized housing so that it doesn't cost her so much money to live. And who's paying for that fucking subsidized housing? Well, all the heterosexual white men who have jobs and the few women out there who are competent and also pay taxes. You people wanted more fucking money. You got more money. Pay the fucking consequences. Subsidized fucking housing. Jesus fucking Christ. Next up. Then, we're actually going to get over to my notes. This is on some website called barbwire.com. Again, I'll link to this. I have not watched this video in full. I watched a little bit of it. The title of this is Gay Child Molesters Caught on Tape. It's this guy who puts on his little camera, goes out, talks to homosexual men in some bars, and gets them to talk about them having sex with 8-year-old boys and all this other stuff. Which got me thinking about the whole homosexual thing, because right now we've reached this point where everybody just wants homosexuality is just to be celebrated, to celebrate it, to be celebrated. And yet you hear these homosexuals talking about having sex with 8-year-old boys and 12-year-old boys. And you have to ask yourself, if you have any fucking curiosity, and most of you don't, what the fuck is wrong with these people? And more importantly, why is this so fucking celebrated? I mean, again, you've got that, what's her name, Leah Dunham or Durham or whatever the fuck her name is, where she wrote this book where she talked about how she sexually molested her little sister. And people just celebrate this. She's just so wonderful. And she's so enlightened and she's so strong and independent and she's a feminist and she's, you know, smashing the binary and she's standing up for women and all this other shit. Jerry Sandusky fucks 10-year-old boys in the asses and he goes to prison, as he should. But homosexual men in this video admit to fucking 8-year-old boys, and it's just so wonderful. They're so enlightened. It's just so wonderful that they have the confidence to come out and talk about their sexuality, and we should be celebrating this. And this really gets me thinking about the whole everything that is homosexual. Why is there all right, let me come at it from this angle. Everybody wants a victim card. It's human nature. It's laziness. If you can be lazy, right, it's like if you can get subsidized housing, you're going to get subsidized housing, okay? You're not going to fucking say no to subsidized housing. And when your wages go up and you're making too much money to get subsidized housing, then you're going to work less so that you don't make so much money that you jeopardize your subsidized housing. Because humans are lazy. Humans always want to take the easy path. Those are the 99%ers, right? This is how we got the welfare state, because you allowed the 99% to make their choices. They've chosen welfare. They've chosen wealth redistribution because that's the lazy way out. You can work for a living, or you can take money away from people who do work for a living to give yourself free things like WIC, Social Security, welfare, housing subsidies, food stamps, Obamacare, free birth control. Anytime humans have the opportunity, they're going to get free shit. They're going to be lazy. They're going to take the easy path. there's very few people who will go, who will say to themselves, you know what, I'm going to take the high road, I'm going to work for things, I'm going to push myself, I'm going to achieve, I'm going to risk failure, so forth and so on. Most people, low-roading, slavery, laziness, it works for them. They're totally okay with that. So, and one of the ways to this is the victim card. Now there's assorted victim cards you can have. You can have the race card, you can have the Jew card, you can have the woman card, but all of those have prerequisites. Right? To play the Jew card, you have to be Jewish. To play the race card, you have to be black, or at least you have to be willing, like that one woman, to pretend you're black. To play the woman card, you have to be a woman. I wonder how many homosexuals became homosexuals. I mean, then of course we have this whole thing, is homosexuality a choice or is it genetic? I think there are many people who are homosexuals by choice, because homosexuality is something you can choose and it will give you access to that victim card. Again, if I, straight man, talked about having sex with an 8-year-old boy, whoa, oh wait, can I be straight and have sex with 8-year-old boys? So if you're a pedophile, if you're a pedophile and you have sex with people the same gender, does that also make you homosexual? I guess it does. I don't know. Now these are deep questions. But when you play the gay card, you can come out and you can say to other people without fear of repercussion, yeah, I had sex with an 8-year-old boy. And you're going to be celebrated because you can play the homosexual card. Now, certainly, I don't think, by any stretch of imagination, everybody who is homosexual is a pedophile, any more than everybody who is heterosexual is a pedophile. Okay? Not everybody is a fucking pedophile. But again, the point is, like Sandusky, okay, he was married, he was not this openly gay homosexual person. When they found out he was fucking little boys, he went to prison. But if you're openly homosexual, like Lee Dunham, Durham, whatever her fucking name is, and you write a book in which you say you sexually molested your sister, well, you're celebrated, right? So if you're openly homosexual and you're a pedophile, there are no repercussions for the pedophilia because you have the homosexual card to play. If you're not openly homosexual, like Jerry Sandusky, and you're a pedophile, you don't get to play that card. You get to go to jail. And homosexuality has become this thing that, I mean, it's more than just a sexual orientation. It is a victim card. It is a protected status. Right? It reminds me of the South Park episode. Everything reminds me of the South Park episode where Mr. Garrison is trying to get fired from the school so that he can sue them and make a bunch of money. You know, and he's in the classroom just going totally over the top drag queen, and he's spanking Mr. Slave and all this other stuff. And everybody's just going, oh, he's so wonderful. Oh, he's so brave. Oh, isn't it so fantastic? You know, and he just like explodes. He's like, God damn it, people, have some fucking standards. And this is the thing, homosexuality, I know you think I hate homosexuals. I do hate members of the GLBTKKK. I hate homosexuals who are statist, but I do not hate homosexuals for being homosexual. I hate homosexuals who fuck 8-year-old boys and admit to it. Homosexuality has moved from simply being a sexual orientation to being an umbrella which you can use to protect yourself from criticism and from the repercussions of your actions. Again, I mean, I don't think I can say any clearer than this. Jerry Sandusky, quote-unquote straight guy, fucks little boys, goes to jail. Homosexual men homosexual, openly homosexual, fuck little boys, they're celebrated. Why, they're so wonderful. If homosexuality was simply a description of who you like to have sex with, that would be fine. But it has become this status you can throw up. Not throw up as in vomit, throw up as in raise. It's become the shield that you can hide behind. The shield from criticism, the shield from responsibility. And I think to an extent that might be where much of the criticism of the homosexual, the homosexual community, but we all know how much I hate using words like that. Like there's this fucking community of them and they live in the woods or something, I don't know. And again, not every homosexual person on the planet hides behind this shield. Yes, I know there are many people who are homosexual who blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Not all women are like that. Oh, I should talk about that. Do I have that on my list? Oh, I do have that on my list. That's in my notes to talk about that. If I get to my notes. But I'm becoming really fucking weary. And this is why, again, it's because I think a lot of times I sound conflicted on this show when I say that if gay people want to get married, they should be able to, and people should be able to do what they want, yada, yada, yada. And then I come on here screaming about faggots and trannies and all this other stuff. And, you know, if it sounds conflicted to you, the listener, I get that. And that's sort of why this came up in my mind, because for me, and this again, this is one of the differences, this is why I am the great one himself. This is why I'm an anarcho-capitalist, and this is why you're a fucking loser 99% or status slave. Because you can't think. Because you cannot self-examine. Because you cannot spot inconsistencies in your own thoughts. Because you don't actually have any thoughts. You simply believe what you're told to believe by his Lord and Savior, Hussein Obama, who is, of course, brought us zero change. He is one half white, he is the first affirmative action president, and he is the second coming of Jesus Christ, unless of course you're a Jew, in which case he's the first coming of the Savior, because Jesus wasn't the first coming. Therefore, the Obama would be the first coming, not the second coming. Speaking of coming, girls. A while back, I talked about my plan to meet girls on the running trail when they were biking on their mountain bikes there on the trail, instead of me letting them go past, which I normally do because I'm just a nice person. I don't mind yielding to bicyclists because they're working a lot harder to bike up the mountain or down the mountain than I am to run up or down the mountain. And so I would always yield to the bicyclist. And I decided that instead of yielding to the cute girls, I would make them yield to me. That way, they had to stop, and as I'm going past them, I could slow down and chat them up. So I want to say, so far, that's been working pretty well. I haven't, like, gotten laid or anything yet out of this. But the tactic is brilliant. So if you're a trail runner, if you're out there on the mountain trails where it's nice and narrow, where the bicyclists can't pass you, guys, don't yield to the bike riders, man. Make them stop so you can chat them up. The second thing I want to throw out is I violated one of my own rules, and I blew it big time. I was chatting with this chick, and we got to the point I needed to go soon and everything, yada, yada, yada. And so I said to her, I pulled out a piece of paper and a pen, I kind of slid in her direction, and I said, write down your phone number. And we had been chatting a little bit, and everything was going great. And she had this immediate hostile emotional reaction. And she said something like, why would I do that? And I said something along the lines of, you know, because I'd like to get to know you better and see if you're somebody that's worth my time or whatever. And she said something to the effect of, I don't give my phone number to people I just met. And sort of stormed off, which was fine. And that was all my fault because I'm the one who blew it. So here, for those of you who haven't heard this from me before, here is the magic phrase. First of all, Oh God, I don't want to make this too long, but look, don't ask women for their phone number. You don't ask a girl for, and I know I did it, that's my point, is that I fucked up. See, notice how I can admit when I fucked up. That's one of the differences between me and you. That's why I'm the great one and you're a fucking slave, because I have self-awareness and I learn from my mistakes, even though sometimes I make the same mistake over and over and over because I'm kind of a dumbass some fucking times. And my brain shuts down and I don't think and I do stupid shit like ask girls for their phone number. Don't ask a girl for her phone number because, first of all, she may have an emotional response to it like that. She probably gave her, probably some stalker guy got her phone number or some shit in the past. And also probably she's smart enough to stare at her smartphone all day long, but she's not smart enough to block phone numbers. But anyway, most chicks will just give you the phone number because they know that it's really easy for them to ignore you. But if I had a dollar for every chick who gave me her phone number and then subsequently ignored me or blew me off, not blew me, those are different. For those of you who are virgin toes, getting blown by a woman and getting blown off by a woman, those are two different things. If I had a dollar for every time a chick has given me her phone number and then blown me off, I'd have probably about somewhere between $40 to $50. Okay, so you don't ever ask for the phone, because chicks normally, that's what they do. They give you the phone number, then they ignore you. So the magic phrase that you use is you say to them, what would have to happen for us to get together again? Or, well, the magic part is, what would have to happen? And then you spin it from there. It's like, what would have to happen for us to get together again sometime and talk? Because I want to find out if you're the kind of person I would like to spend time with. Whatever the fuck. It doesn't matter that much what comes up. The magic part is, what would have to happen? And then you let her tell you, and then for her, if it is giving you her phone number, she'll give you her phone number. Or maybe it's just like she'll say, well, I'm free tomorrow. Are you free tomorrow? And that's usually how it's gone for me, is I typically don't get phone numbers. Typically it's like, well, I'm free, or I'm free next week or whatever, and we set up a time and we meet. So anyhow, and credit on that goes to Ross Jeffries. Learned that little magic phrase from him many years ago, and I'm telling you, it is devastatingly effective. So don't ask chicks for their phone number. Don't fuck up like I did. Chick had a rockin' body, too. Alright. Before I started talking about girls, what the fuck was I talking about? I was doing homosexuals. I said doing. I was doing homosexuals. I was talking about how it gives them a shield against the world and against criticism that normal people don't have. Yes, I said normal, which implies that homosexuals are abnormal. Trigger warning on that. Just deal with it. You know what I also find interesting about the whole where we are right now with, I mean, as a society, as a group of people, as a nation, both in a legal sense and in the sense of, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, society, common everyday activities, the way we treat each other. The whole question of homosexuality, I think, is still sort of floating around to figure out where it's going to land. Because homosexuality as a practice, and homosexuality as something that is legally recognized, and homosexuality as being applied to marriage, where you go to the government and you ask for permission to get married because you acknowledge the government owns your body and that you are a slave, that you can't get married without the government's permission. You know, as the saying goes, permission is not freedom, permission is slavery. Right, so I mean, all of this stuff, even with the quote-unquote right-wing statist, they're becoming more and more okay with this. And I find it interesting that at the same time that homosexuality and transsexuality and all this weirdness is becoming normalized, and not just being normalized. Here, and again, here's my problem. This is why I've got the phrase the GLBTKKK, because again, it's not the problem that, it's not the problem. It's not the fact that you're a tranny or you're a homosexual that bothers me. It's the part where you're trying to shove it down my throat, where you're trying to not only force me to accept it, not only force me to praise it, but you're trying to force me to subsidize it. Oh, I've got that article somewhere about... Okay, I'm running from memory here, and I'll have to see, I'll have to put the link. Let me write this down so I don't forget. Okay, so it's the standard story you've heard before. Should I finish? All right, let me finish my fucking previous thought, then we'll come back to that. Christ. Randy, we haven't even got to my fucking notes yet. How much longer do I have? Oh, God. Well, I don't even know why I made notes. There's no fucking point. All right. There's all this need to take homosexuality and force me to accept it, force me to praise it, force me to subsidize it, and yet, anytime I point out that all women are bisexual, I get shit for that. Just throwing that out there. All women are bisexual. Now, people say, well, don't you think all men are bisexual? No, and here's why. I've talked about this before. Try to do a short version. Nothing I have is short, especially not this big old dick right here. Ask your girlfriend, she'll tell you it's not short. Women, feminine, now, all right, I should talk. The feminine aspect, which used to apply to most women, and the masculine aspect, which used to apply to most men. This is a problem, too. More and more men in our society are becoming feminized. They are becoming feminine. They are becoming sissy boys. And I think that's a big chunk of all these shifts in our society that are happening right now. The number of men who are masculine in the sense that they want to create things instead of just sitting around consuming, in the sense that they will take responsibility for what they do and what happens instead of playing victim cards and hiding behind umbrellas, right? I mean, because if you're a masculine man, even if you're homosexual, if you're a masculine man who takes responsibility, who makes things happen, you're not going to hide behind the homosexual card. I've talked in the past about, I work in theater, for those of you new to the podcast. I know many, many people. I work in a musical theater. Yes, it's true. Every male actor you see on stage at the musical theater is gay. Okay, there might be one straight guy up there, but yes, most of them are gay. But also, these people are all competent. They're gay, they're homosexual men, but at the same time, they are masculine men, most of them. They work out, they have muscles, and more importantly, they take responsibility. I mean, if you think performing in a musical does not require responsibility and competence, you're out of your fucking mind. I mean, these guys have to show up to rehearsals. They have to show up to every performance. When you're in theater, you could be dying. You're coughing up blood. You're fucking going on stage anyway. You have to go on stage, because if you don't go on stage, there ain't no fucking show. I mean, I have seen actors on stage bleeding. I'm not exaggerating this. Bleeding. I've seen actors go on stage, come off stage, vomit in a bucket, go back on stage. Okay? When you do live theater, you do what you fucking have to do to make the show happen. It is not a place for pussies. And I include in this even the women. The women in theater, they have to have responsibility. They have to be able to go out there and do that shit no matter what. Now, you can all be flaky in other aspects of your life, but in this one aspect of your life, the men, they can be as fucking queer as a $3 bill. It doesn't matter. They show up. They do what they have to do. They learn their lines. They learn their choreography. They keep themselves physically healthy to go out there and do the fucking dancing and the acting night after night after night. Okay, so where the fuck was I going with this? All right, so that's the masculine element. You can have homosexual men. You can have women that display elements of the masculine perspective that says take responsibility, get things done, make shit happen. But as in our society as a whole, as I see it, we're shifting more and more to the feminine, which is to sit around and wait for things to happen. Again, when men and women, who does the asking out on the dates? Who does the paying for the dates? Who does the asking for marriage? Also, the man does all the fucking work. You virgin toes wouldn't know this because you've never spoken to a girl before. But in the normal world, men and women dating each other, and this, we men, we accept this. We understand this. We have to do all the fucking work. We got to do all the fucking work. Our society is shifting more and more and more to the feminine. And so why can women be bisexual? Why are all women bisexual? Because women, feminine women, are passive. You can have two passive elements, and there's not a lot of conflict. Two chicks can be in a relationship, and if they're both passive, if they're both feminine, they can get along. You can have a man and two girls, or even three girls. And if all the women are feminine and they can get along, it's going to work out. So you can have those. Now, and of course, let me take a moment to remind you that, see, relationships or marriages or dating that involves more than two people, now see, that's still frowned upon. If you want to be like a transsexual who has sex with 8-year-old children, see, that's wonderful in today's society. If you want to be this lesbian freak whose claim to fame, as far as I can tell, is simply showing your titties on television and admits that you sexually molested your younger sister, see, that's wonderful. That is something that is celebrated in our society. But if you've got a man dating two women at the same time, oh my God, that's evil. And if he wanted to marry them, I mean, homosexuals getting married, that's wonderful, that's enlightened. You know, they got permission from the government, they've affirmed their slavery. So that is to be celebrated. But if a man and two women all want to marry each other, well, now see, that is going to destroy our society. That is going to be the final straw that causes people to start getting married to dogs and trees, and pretty soon they'll just be having sex in the street, and the buildings around us will crumble down, and society will completely collapse if we allow group marriages. Unlike homosexual marriages, which of course are wonderful and enlightened. Women are feminine women are passive and they can get along with each other. And of course, chicks are also hot. So this is why all women are bisexual. Whereas men don't have this, because you take two men, take two masculine men, and you put them together, you have conflicts because both of them want to be the leader. Both of them want to be the captain. You can't have two fucking captains. You can have a captain and you can have a crew. But you can't have two captains and one crew. You can't have two captains and no crew. Okay? Got a captain? That's the man. You got a crew? That's the girls. That's why situations where you have one man with multiple women work out. That's why situations where you have two women work out. So situations where you have two men don't work out quite as well. God damn, that was long-winded. The cake. I read about this. There's another one of these things where the homosexual women go to this bakery. We want you to make us a wedding cake. The wedding cake people said, no, we're Christians. We don't want to participate in this. And so, of course, instead of just going to another fucking bakery, the lesbians, because they are attention whores, because they need attention, because they want money. Again, laziness. It's like, okay, we can get a job and earn money by doing work. Not that we have any skills, because they probably both have a liberal arts degree. Or we can sue this bakery for money because they wouldn't cook a cake for us because neither of us knows how to make a cake. I mean, you got two women. Neither one of them knows how to bake their own fucking cake. Jesus fucking Christ. Get your bitch ass in the kitchen and make me a pie. They can sue this bakery and get a bunch of money for doing nothing. That's laziness. When the lesbian couple filed their complaint, lawsuit, whatever the fuck it was, they had to put their names and addresses on it. Well, the cake shop made it public who these two women were that were fucking suing them. And of course, now the lesbians are all pissed off because their names have been made public. And again, we see here how homosexuality is being used as this shield. This, well, we want to sue this fucking bakery for not making a cake, but we don't want it publicly known who we are. Well, everybody publicly knows who the bakery is that you're suing. Why in the fuck should you be protected from anyone knowing who you are? If what you're doing is so goddamn noble and wonderful. So this is the thing that drives me crazy, because especially the left-wing status play this. And the rape thing where, oh, this woman has accused people of rape, but we can't reveal her identity. Bullshit. I'm sorry, folks. I have no tolerance for that either. If you're going to accuse somebody of doing something wrong, if you can't come out and say who the fuck you are, then perhaps you should shut the fuck up. Right? If what you're doing is so noble and wonderful in suing this bakery for not making you a fucking cake, you shouldn't be afraid of people knowing who the fuck you are. Stop hiding behind your goddamn sexual orientation. Stop using homosexuality as a shield from responsibility and accountability. And when the GLBT KKK stops using sexual orientation as a shield from accountability and responsibility, that's when I will stop making fun of you. That's when I will stop ragging on you. That's when I will stop making fun of you. But until then, you're just another special interest group playing a victim card every chance you get. All right. How much? 60 seconds. Great. Did not fucking get to anything on my notes. That's beautiful. Hey, the good part of this, Randy, is we have notes for the next episode. Yes. All right. Let me put down, I got that. I'll find the link to the whole gay cake thing. And there's just going to be more of that. I really want to go into a cake shop and tell them, I want you to make me a cake that has a Confederate flag on it and see what happens. Look, guys, you've got to realize that as long as you're using your fucking sexual orientation as a shield, people are going to give you shit about it. And if you don't want to be quote-unquote discriminated against for your sexual orientation, stop hiding behind it. Grow up and take some goddamn responsibility and accountability for your life. And stop fucking children, okay? Stop sticking your dicks inside 8-year-old boys, because that shit's gross. I'm always right. Go fuck yourself.